Would you all pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Paul and Silas, bound in jail, ain't got no money for to pay their bail. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. The primary activity of our God is liberation. The Spirit of God sets us free. And over and over and over throughout the Bible, we hear songs of freedom. From Miriam's song celebrating the Exodus to the songs the Israelites sang in Babylon, singing the Lord's song in a strange land. Right up through Paul and Silas singing down the prison doors, as we just heard in the book of Acts. Songs sung to and through the Spirit of God have extraordinary power to bring freedom. Not only spiritual freedom, but chain-breaking freedom, setting the bodies of God's beloved children free. The story from the book of Acts, read by Pam today, is a story of the power of song to call upon the Spirit, and that same Spirit's power to liberate. The gravel of the dirt floor grinds into their fresh wounds. Naked, flogged, and feet fastened into stocks, Paul and Silas are in the innermost cell of a Roman prison. And there they sit. Night begins to fall. And as the moon rises, so too does the Holy Spirit. Paul and Silas pray and they sing hymns to God. The other prisoners must listen in. Who are these men? Who are these men who were drugged past their cells earlier in the day? Who are these men who, having been beaten, imprisoned, and chained, now sing? And who is this God to whom they address their prayers? Suddenly, the earth shakes beneath them. A thunderous sound echoes through the prison. Foundation stones grind against mortar until they crack. The noise and movement overwhelms the prisoners, eyes glued shut from the falling rubble of the ceiling. And then, silence. They open their grit-crusted eyes. The doors to each cell are open. Everyone's chains unfastened. The spirit of liberation at work. Floating on the songs of Paul and Silas, winding herself around every lock, using her mighty strength to break the very foundations of the prison. Every prisoner free. Paul and Silas began to shout, the doors popped open, and all came out. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Beaten and chained, they sang. On the slave ships in the Middle Passage, they sang. In the plantations and in the back rooms of Boston mansions, they sang. Theologian Willie James Jennings writes, praying and singing join us to the tortured and chained bodies, both past and present. Each time we gather in the name of Jesus and lift our voices, this point of reference should shape our reverence and drive us to see and learn and know and change the situations of those who suffer. Praying and singing join us to tortured and chained bodies, past and present. This point of reference should shape our reverence. Each time we sing, go down Moses, way down in Egypt land. Each time we sing, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. We join ourselves to the tortured and chained bodies, past and present, who cry out to God day and night. Song is a powerful thing. Music can do what often the spoken word cannot do. can make possible that which is out of spoken language's reach. Bodies battered and flesh chained, Paul and Silas sang to God from the innermost cell of a Roman prison. From the harsh cotton fields of the South to the shipyards of Massachusetts' North Shore to the houses of Boston's elite, the enslaved sang. Songs that would become African American spirituals, these songs were peppered with prayer and practical wisdom on how to stay alive and how to get free. Such is their staying power that the generations since have sung them in the enduring fight for freedom, and still we sing them today. Theologian and dean of BU's Marsh Chapel just before the Civil Rights Movement, Howard Thurman, he wrote that these songs offer a flow of courage from the past. Paul and Silas sung, and the Spirit answered with an earthquake that shook the very foundations of the prison. It did not just unlock the chains of Paul and Silas and then leave the rest. Paul and Silas began to shout, the doors popped open, and all came out. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. The story from the book of Acts is about the Spirit's power to shake the foundations of oppression, freeing oppressor and oppressed alike. Dr. Jennings writes, "The deliverance of the captives must include the jailer because redemption must come to him if the prisoners are to be set free. Those who are aligned with the technology of the prison must be shown a new order of life in the Spirit if they would imagine life beyond cell and chain. The Spirit breaks the prison, crushes its technologies, and saves the jailer, who then treats the wounds of the tortured. This is the will of our God." Paul and Silas's called upon a power of a God who set free prisoners and jailer, the oppressed and the oppressor. God will shake the foundations of every prison we've ever built. The systems of oppression know this. Know that the structures cannot stand when the Spirit of God is on the loose. Why else? Why else in 1807 was there a Bible created for slaves' use in the Caribbean? It had to be intensely redacted, removing stories that glorified liberation, which meant cutting 50% of the New Testament and 90% of the Hebrew Bible. There are 1,189 chapters in a standard Protestant Bible. This one contained 232. What is the Bible without Moses and Pharaoh? The story of enslaved people rising up using any means necessary to gain their freedom. What is the Bible without the stories of exile in Babylon, where the Israelites suffer under a tyrant king and God who sets them free? A king whose handle on his power is so fragile that he must build golden statues to himself. What is the Bible without Psalms of liberation? What is the Bible without the book of Revelation, the promise of a new heaven and a new earth where all oppression shall cease? The only chains that we can stand are the chains of hand in hand. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. The unredacted Holy Bible speaks clearly about freedom, about a God who is always on the side of the oppressed. And yet, was it not Christians who enslaved? Was it not white Christians who acquiesced to a world built on the grotesque, unholy system of sin that was chattel slavery, who chose to silently benefit day by day? Sure, there were white abolitionists, but they were in the minority for far too long. Our ancestors at this church generally accepted a church in which black and enslaved members were treated as less than the beloved children of God. Dean Thurman names that the key insight of the black antebellum preacher was that every human being is a child of God. And yet, the white majority of our own church could not wholly uphold the personhood of their fellow churchgoers. Let us pay heed to this lesson that the work of the church, the work of our church, is not always the work of God. The God of Scripture, the God of our lives, is a God of liberation, a God who sees a way when there is no way, a God who shames tyrant kings and takes them down from their thrones, a God who breaks chains that bind body and soul. God has been singing God's song of liberation through the ages. That song is alive and at work today. The song still rises from deep within the souls of the faithful in the church and out on the city streets. Got my hand on the gospel plow, wouldn't trade nothing for my journey now. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on. The Spirit of God, she still sings her song of liberation. And it is time. It is time for all of God's children to sing along so that we might finally get free. Amen.